This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
How are you, Michael?
I am smashing. Absolutely lovely.
Wonderful. You are listening to S&M Fridays with Simon and Michael.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. What did you get up to this week?
Oh, look, it's been busy week at work. Trying to make money.
No strikes this week.
No. Try not to punch walls or windows. So it's been an eventful week, I think, for me this week.
Wow.
Been very good. I've been behaved, well behaved. And that's the most important thing.
That's not the stories you were telling me before.
Oh, well, what are you saying? What are you trying to say? I've been very good this week. Don't go putting words into my mouth.
Well, we've got a massive show tonight. We're actually going to be introducing you to the newest food craze from the States.
I'm looking forward to this, yes.
And it's something that I reckon 99% of people absolutely love, but it's going to be taking a bit of a twist.
Yes. Yes. There's a bit of a twist. It's something that you might have to get used to. However, we'll get there. We'll get there in time. Yes.
But first of all, the earthquake.
Let's chat
about the earthquake.
This was magic.
For me, I was interstate for work.
Yes.
I had to go and up to Sydney and make a cake for 1,000 people.
Yes.
So very small cake. Yes. So it was 2 meters by 2 meters and weighed 380 kilos.
Oh, that's a little cake.
Yeah. Quite small. But while I was doing that, I'd finished work for the day, did a 15-hour day, and then went out for dinner and was getting phone call after phone call about this earthquake.
Yes.
You were here. Tell us what it was like.
Well, where do I start? I was sitting on the couch watching television, and then I realised that something was going on. I was either undergoing some sort of crazy illness where my vision and my sense of balance was going way off topic.
AKA your usual Saturday night.
Yes, right. Yep. Or there was something else going on. Now, my building has the occasional shake. I'm not sure why. Like, there's like a little tiny, you can just feel a little bit of a shake.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big one. So like I think it's someone downstairs or there's something that's happening. Yeah, you can feel some vibrations. But I knew there was a little bit more when I could actually see the lampshade on the lamp in front of me shaking backwards and forwards.
Wow.
So at that point, I decided to ask my flatmate if she could feel anything. And it took her a while, but eventually, yes, she could. Yes. So for about half a minute or so, we were shaking around. It sounded like it was very windy, like a great big truck was going past.
Oh, really?
And then it was fantastic because when it stopped, we went out to the balcony to see, you know, what was going on, if we'd missed something. And it was a beautiful experience because we got to meet the neighbours.
The half-naked neighbours.
The lovely neighbours. The neighbours who I would like to see on the balcony more often. everyone was out on the balconies and we all said hello. And for the first time, I think it was a bit of neighbourly bonding.
Oh, wow.
It brought us together.
Team building.
It was beautiful.
Oh,
beautiful.
Wow.
I loved it. It was great. So we said hello to everyone and we realised then that the earth had moved.
So you've turned it into a social occasion.
It was great. We should have stayed out there and had
high tea on the balcony after the earthquake.
A few glasses. It'll be nice.
All right, well, we're going to come back and have a chat about the earthquake. A bit of boom shake the room there, Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, if only it did boom shake the room. It shook the room slightly, but not. I wouldn't say boom shake the room.
You know what I was thinking on the way in?
What were you thinking?
I was thinking that I did want to play that song, and I thought, Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. So Will Smith.
Yes.
Right? I reckon that if Will Smith didn't actually become famous,
yeah,
he'd probably right about now be on one of David and Sue's shows as a versus. Look, who do you want to listen to?
I reckon that's maybe for next week. Next week,
yes.
Let them know. A bit of jazzy to Jeff.
You've got the stutter.
Jazzy.
Okay, now, so earlier in the week we had the earthquake and There were some really funny pictures floating around Facebook and whatnot as well.
Correct.
But the thing that amused me was the Maui earthquake appeal.
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm going to run through that for the people who haven't seen it.
Thank you, yes.
So a major earthquake measuring 5.3 on the Richter scale hit Maui in the evening of Tuesday, with its epicentre being the Maui Centrelink office. Victims were seen wandering around aimlessly muttering... Actually, no, I can't say that.
No, you can't say that. Yeah, very good.
The earthquake decimated the area, causing approximately $30 worth of damage. Three areas of historic burnt-out cars were disturbed. Oh. Many locals were at a loss, wondering how they were going to feel Thursday morning now that their Centrelink building was reduced to rubble, and at the same time realising that it had struck Thursday morning, at least half of the adult population would have been wiped out.
The Maui
mayor reported that hundreds of residents were confused and bewildered and were still trying to come to terms with the fact that something interesting had happened to Maui. He added, one resident, Tracy Sharon Smith, a 15-year-old mother of five, said it was such a shock, my little Chardonnay Mercedes come running into my room crying. My youngest two, Caleb and Storm, slept through it all. Apparently, looting, muggings and car crime were unaffected and carried on as normal. The Australian Red Cross has so far managed to ship 40,000 crates of Bacardi Breezes to the area to help the stricken locals. Rescue workers are still searching through the rubble and have found large quantities of personal belongings, including healthcare cards, also jewellery and bone china from Big W.
Oh, beautiful.
How can you help? The appeal is to raise money for food and clothing parcels for those unfortunate enough to be caught up in this disaster. Clothing is most sought after. Items needed include baseball caps, track suits, singlets, white sports socks, Reebok boots, and any other items usually sold in Golo or the reject shop. Food parcels may be harder to come by, but are needed all the same. Required foodstuffs urgently needed include microwave meals, baked beans, ice creams, chips, Diet Coke. Oh, well, what the hell, any Coke? Donations of $15 will be taken to buy a packet of Winnie Blue 25s and a lighter to calm the nerves of those affected.
Oh, that's... And all in the week, same week that the word bogan was put into the Oxford Dictionary. It's been a big week for Maui, a big week.
I know, put on the map.
And I think...
Twice.
That's exactly right. And I think the least that we could do is to have some sort of relief concert for Maui. I think there needs to be like a Maui Quake relief concert. And we need to know who would be part of that Maui Quake relief concert.
Let's get a few names going. Who do you think?
Oh, look, there has to be the normal. You sort of think about all these things that happen. All this different fundraising. There's always the few people who get carted out for these particular events. So I'm thinking a host like Ray Martin.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Ray, he'd be doing nothing these days.
No, exactly right. Mm. Rhonda Birchmore.
Yes.
You know,
Good old Rhonda. Zoe Badrish, she'll be there. She goes to everything.
Yeah. So look, and then there's like, you got to have, depending on who's here, who's still alive.
Who's touring.
You know, so we can get people. So
yes.
Let us know who you think, and then we'll see what we can come up with and how much of that $30 damage we can recoup from this big concert, the extravaganza, the biggest shake that Maui has seen since the earthquake. This is S&M Fridays on Joy 94.9. And before some music and people speaking, we were talking about having a relief concert for the Maui Quake that happened this week. And we asked you to let us know who you think should be at this particular relief concert.
I reckon it'd be a star-studded lineup.
It would be magic.
Down at the Maui Speedway.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. And everyone would come in their moccasins and flannel shirts.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a TV event.
All channels
at the same time. total block of Maui Quake relief concert.
Mm.
But we have had some people give us some ideas. So we've got Angela from Reservoir, depending on where you come from.
I think it's Reservoir.
Yeah, it is. But you know, like if you were in a local, you'd look at that.
Is it like dance and dance?
You'd look at that and think, oh, yes, but they have water. You know,
in the reservoir.
That's right. It's bizarre. Anyway,
or is it a reservoir?
A reservoir. Oh, I don't know.
It's reservoir.
It is. That's right. Yeah, okay. It is. Okay. Anyway, Barnsey.
Yes.
And he must sing K-San.
I don't think he should. Otherwise, there'd be another earthquake double that size. Could you imagine people screaming and chanting in Maui?
Yes. Actually, yes. The chanting, the stamping of feet.
Yes.
You'd have like hair flying all over the place. They'd be throwing their children at him because they wouldn't want to take their moccasins off to throw at him.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. An excellent choice, though. That would make a lot of dollar for the Maui fundraising appeal. So that's an excellent idea, Angela. And Travis from Dallas, who should be just in the concert just because he's Travis from Dallas.
Yes.
Has also thought of Shannon Knoll.
Yes, another Australian bogan icon.
Matt, this would have to be the event of 2012. The event.
I know. I just thought of a new host.
Okay.
What's the name of the carpenter from Better Homes and Gardens?
Oh, that man.
The one that talks like this.
Yeah. They'd love that.
He'd be on there.
They'd understand him better.
He could help rebuild Maui being a carpenter.
And there could be a whole TV series about it.
Rebuilding Maui, the series on DVD.
Beautiful. It'd be like a reality show. And you have like different families all trying to rebuild their house.
You know what? That would actually be a reality show I would watch.
Yeah. I'd enjoy that. And like...
Sharon, the people are here to rebuild the house.
And just to make, you know, to make people a bit jumpy about it, they do makeovers of the actual people halfway through. And so there's that whole drama of this, you know, makeover. They've gone from bogan to...
Chic bogan,
and they just can't deal with it. I'd watch that. That'd be good. I'd like that.
What do you call that, an ottoman? What do you want an ottoman for?
Oh, tassels.
That's a small couch.
Tassels, velvet. And who else were we thinking? We had a couple of other ideas as well for this concert. Who else was?
Oh, Kerri-Anne. Kerri-Anne. Yep. Yeah,
she's an Australian icon.
She is, yeah. Kerri-Anne put on a bit of a show.
Yep.
And I think Sonia Kruger. Have you seen her do that little jig on the ads for Big Brother?
I have, yes. Mm.
But you know what? Somebody told me the other day that... Do you know who she played in Strictly Ballroom?
Who?
Tina Sparkle.
Really?
I heard that she played Tina Sparkle.
Oh, yeah, she was.
Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. She was in Strictly Ballroom.
Really? I didn't even know she could dance. And then that made me go, okay, well, that makes sense being... A host on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. No, she actually is a dancer, I think. Yeah, there is some backstory to Sonia.
And I
Kruger.
Saw her doing crumping and Beyonce moves on the ad for Big Brother, and I thought, surely that's a stunt double. But then I looked and I thought, no, she's actually doing it.
She's a big
good
crumper.
On her.
Crumper
good
from
on
way
her.
Back, she is.
Yes.
Angela has also reminded us about Barnsley's kids, the Tin Lids.
Yes. Yes. Oh. Was Mahalia or Malalia or whatever Mahalia Barnes, was she a part of the Tin Lids?
I have a funny feeling.
The one that was on The Voice?
Yeah, because I can only remember them with one song. This is years ago. I was young. I'm probably about
there's
their
some
age.
Christmas song, wasn't
some
it?
Some Christmas song. Yeah. Oh, memories. That's for Christmas time. So we might play that in about December, if Joy lets us play that in December, because I don't think they will. But it's, yeah, no.
Then again, with some of the tracks that we've played, we should have been dragged off air
we should have.
Some time ago.
Oops. Mm. But then these things happen. And there was also, we're also thinking of, for the kids as well, obviously the kids won't know the Tin Lids because they're all grown up now.
Oh, yes.
But maybe like something like the Wiggles.
The Tin Lids are all 45.
The Wiggles with their tireless red car. Because it would be on bricks. Yeah. So I think that'd be nice. I think that'd be good for them.
Because there's no wheels left on the car because it's been parked in Maui.
I'd have to wheel it out on bricks. Like, sorry, kids.
And their red car's a Commodore.
That's right. It's got to be key scratched down the side.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. S&M Fridays with Simon and Michael, Jessica Sutter, and Cedric Gervais with Wherever You Are.
Who's going to be the next David Guetta, apparently?
Oh, that's my claim.
That's my claim. So he'll be on
You watch. It'll take a couple of years, but you'll be eating humble pie when he is.
It's a couple of years. Well, I'll remember. I'll make sure it's written down somewhere so we don't forget that. Okay. In fact, I might keep it on my computer.
I'll put it on our Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't think I can sign it on there, but I will put out my Nostradamus prediction that this guy will be the next David Guetta.
Matched in Latin, though, has been Latin. That I was not a real Nostradamus prediction. It's been Latin. And it has to be really cryptic. So when people read it later, they think...
All right, I'll make it cryptic for you. Yeah, I'll make it cryptic so that it can be misconstrued and I can't be held to my words.
Correct, that's right. Very good. So is he on... So he's next week. Is that he's popping on to say hello next week?
He is, yeah. Now, he actually just did a track called Molly, which has done huge things in the ARIA Club charts.
Nice.
And overseas at the Winter Music Conference,
yes.
Madonna actually came out and introduced him and was a part of his performance.
Oh, the big M.
So when you've got a name like that introducing you and being a part of your show, you know, and that's what's made his name sort of stand out now.
Yeah.
So and the fact that he's worked with Jessica Sutter and a few other
people,
C-grade celebrities,
women,
gay icons, basically.
Oh, okay, good, nice.
Yeah. So So I think that there's big things from him, and we'll find out more about him next week.
Joy 94.9.
We were having a bit of a chat about the next, or we're going to have a bit of a chat about the next big thing in food.
Yes. Yes.
So you've already talked about the next big thing in music. Okay. We know that, you know, David Guetta is going. Okay, I have a replacement. But what is there's something big in food, apparently.
Yes. And so my two loves, music and food.
Yeah, they should go together someday.
Yeah, my two industries.
You should bake while you DJ.
Yes, well, there was a funny photo going around Facebook. I might try and locate that and put it on our Facebook page, SM Fridays on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, look, with this trend, it's been big in the States for years, and it's sort of gotten that big that that people have started to make a mockery of it and started to make these new products. Now, bacon is what I'm talking about.
Oh, bacon.
Right? Everybody loves bacon.
I do love bacon. I love bacon for breakfast.
Except kosher and halal people.
Yeah, oh, no, I know, but they're different. But, you know, they have other things to eat. That's good for them. But I love bacon for breakfast with eggs.
Yes.
Also like bacon in a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
I like bacon, that's all really, I think. Bacon for dinner. But, you know, with things that are otherwise savoury. I think that's all.
Yes. Well, what people have done they've started to introduce sweet items with bacon. And because it will take on sweet flavours really well, like any sort of pork product will.
Mm.
We have had things like bacon donuts.
Right.
There's also bacon ice cream.
Okay.
There's a chocolate block with bacon. Milk chocolate.
Okay.
With bacon.
Yeah.
So there's this company in the States has actually bought out a line of bacon products. Now, when I was there, I bought one just as a bit of a joke, and it was bacon lip balm.
Okay.
And the weird thing is you open the top of it and you put it on your lips and it actually tastes like you've just eaten bacon.
And it has
your lips are greasy just like eating after eating bacon.
That's right, yeah.
It lasted about 2 days in my house till the dog got it.
Oh.
And, yeah, so she smelt the bacon and went to town on it. So the whole thing was gone.
Was she applying it to her lips?
To her stomach.
Oh, yes. To her stomach. Mm. Oh, that's sad. Sad for your lip balm.
It is. But they've also brought out a range of... There's bacon soap, bacon breath mints.
What?
Bacon air freshener. So like a dangly thing in your car with like a little rasher of bacon dangling from your revision mirror.
This is not right.
But it's fun.
But I don't want bacon in my car.
But what you'll find is that now places like Movida in the city, they've got a bacon donut on their breakfast menu. So so what's happening is also fast food companies are starting to look at bringing bacon into as a bit of a promotional thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if one of the fast food outlets over here brought out a bacon sundae,
yeah,
you would think that that the people would go nuts on it. And very very much like the KFC. Remember that man burger?
Oh, and I think it's coming back.
Really? I never tried it.
I'm not plugging them. You know, forgive me. Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. But no, would Australians go for bacon in sweet things? Like, I don't know. I don't know if we have that crazy Canadian type American taste.
It's really funny. Like, part of my work is I do development for sweet products as well as like breads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we actually looked at launching some sort of a bacon flavored, similar to a donut, yeah. something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it went to like to market research.
Yep.
And the feedback that we got was that is just wrong.
Oh, that's what I think. I think it's wrong.
Look, Australians think it's wrong. But Americans have this whole different way of thinking about it.
Americans have a whole different way of thinking about everything. They're on a different planet.
And look, I'll give you that with the whole peanut butter and jam sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could not think of anything more foul than eating peanut butter and jam together.
No.
And I think because being a chef, I associate peanut butter with satay.
Yes.
So it's like satay chicken with raspberry.
Exactly.
Jam.
That's right. That's not
beautiful.
Right. Well, look, I personally think that people would not go for bacon. Right, that's what I think personally. However, we do have listeners.
We do, and I think let's not say whether you would go out and buy a heap of them.
No,
let's put it out there. Would you try? Would you try a bacon sundae?
Bacon. So we're talking bacon.
Yep.
Ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Here's the picture.
Oh, okay.
Caramel syrup.
Oh.
And maple fudge pieces.
Okay, so we've got like a sundae. Okay, let me describe this. Let me be descriptive, because since radio is very audio and auditory and not very
funny
visual.
That. Yes,
I know, yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So I'm seeing here a sundae. We've got the ice. We've got a layer at the bottom of like a caramel fudgy thing at the bottom, saucy thing. And we've got the ice cream on top in a nice sundae type mountain, drizzled with chocolate sauce and chunks of bacon and...
With the rasher of bacon sticking in it.
Oh, there's the bacon on the side. That's your
scoop. That's the garnish.
That's your spoon.
Oh, yes.
It's a good spoon. It works.
It's very green, very eco-friendly,
oh,
isn't it?
It is in a plastic, in a fancy plastic
it's recyclable.
Cup. But that's okay. That's fine. You go back. You can refill afterwards. Okay, so it's quite bacony.
Yes,
there's enough bacon. There's enough bacon in it to know you're eating bacon, basically. it's not as though it's just a hint of bacon.
No, there's bacon pieces, bacon rasher.
There's bacon.
Yes.
So, would you eat a bacon sundae,
or would you try it? Would you buy it and try it?
Yeah.
We're really curious to know whether you give it a go.
Yeah. Well, I would like to. I think no. I think it will be a no vote.
Okay, well, I think it would be a yes.
Okay.
Well, because, look, I'd give it a go. And look at that burger without a bun. It went nuts.
Yeah, that's different. That's a burger without a bun.
People want to try something different.
People love filling. People don't like bread. People are Atkins. They don't want carbs. They want the protein.
And look, and that's what's got me to the size that I am now.
No.
You look at something like that burger. Let's take the bun away. There's no carbs.
No, carbs is fine.
However, there's,
have
you know, seven times your daily intake of fat.
That's right. It's fine.
Joy.
It's 8 o'clock and currently 9 degrees in Melbourne. I'm Michael and this is your SNM Fridays News of the Week. Zimbabwe's latest pageant winner is crying poor after not becoming as rich and famous as was hoped. The 38-year-old winner of last month's Mr. Ugly pageant, William Masvinu, was hoping to have had modelling offers because of his win in order to end his job carrying loads for shoppers in a market in Mbabane. Mr. Masvinu said that he was expecting to do some adverts and some modelling, if asked. I'm ready to show the world my gift, he told reporters, also noting that being ugly is not a curse. It's a gift God gave me and I'm proud of it. My face makes me special and I'm not making any excuses about it. Masvinu bet four other ugly men to win the title, $100 in cash, and a night at a hotel. He cashed in the hotel stay to buy food because he said it didn't make sense to sleep in a nice hotel on an empty stomach. Argentinian police have reported finding a 43-year-old widow spending a prolonged period of time with her dead husband. Adriana Villarreal was spending days in the San Lazaro cemetery tomb of her husband, who died 2 years ago, having set up a bed, radio, internet-enabled computer, chair, and small cooker next to his coffin. Villarreal told police she visited her husband, Sergio Yede, who died aged 28, three times a year, and stayed 3 or 4 nights there and cooked herself something nice. It's nice to say that marriage is so strong now that not even death do you part. And finally, in health news, a Miami mother of six who has L-cup breasts after having 12 operations has ruled out ending her cosmetic surgery until her breasts are the biggest in the world. 44-year-old Lacey Wild is planning her next operation in order to achieve triple M-sized breasts, which will make her one of the top five biggest-breasted models in the world. For anyone who didn't understand the importance of the procedure, Miss Wild explained that there is a top five and then everybody else is below that. Her children are opposed to the move, explaining that their mother's huge breasts are embarrassing and a risk to her health. Her 17-year-old daughter Tori believes that others would be affected, stating, "I think she isn't really thinking about our opinions. What if she dies? Is she taking that into consideration?" For those who are considering mammoth mammaries, Ms. Wild explained her preparation techniques. "I've stopped wearing a bra, so my skin has time to stretch," she said. "I'm also trying to lose weight, and I went on a diet of liquid, vitamin B12 shots, and apples for a while." Satellite dish manufacturers have been invited to supply Ms. Wild with the cups for a new bras. You're with me and Simon on S&M Fridays on Joy 94.9. But before we go back to the fun and frivolity and the preset interview, the weekend's weather. According to the Bureau, we will get down to a low of 4 degrees tonight with some scattered showers in places. Tomorrow will be cloudy with some isolated showers throughout the metro area and a top of 13 degrees. The showers will continue through to Sunday with a windy morning and another top of 13 degrees. That's all the news for tonight. Tune in for your next Joy News update tomorrow morning.
Well, I think you captured our lesbian audience there. Oh, quite
yes.
Well.
Oh, mammoth memories.
Hello to all the lesbians listening.
Hello.
Triple M-sized breasts.
I saw some photos of her at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
L is big, let alone triple M.
XL is the next one, isn't it?
It is. They are massive.
Wow.
Huge things. But apparently she wants to be the biggest breasted model in the world. So good on her, I reckon. After 12 operations, you'd be wanting something big.
Wow. Wow. And I think with all the groundwork that she's putting into it, mm-hmm. I'm guessing she doesn't have a job.
I think her job
it's a full-time
involves,
effort to...
I think her job involves photographs with her in very little clothing.
Yes.
I have a funny feeling.
All right. Well, speaking of people in very little clothing, a bit of Christina Aguilera.
Oh, God, yes.
Joy 94.9.
I'm DJ Simon Edwards from Joy 94.9, and I'm joined on tonight's show by one half of a duo from Sydney and a group that have revolutionised the Australian dance music scene with their killer album, Apocalypso. In preparation for another global assault with their new sound, I'm beyond excited to be spending some time with Kim from the Presets. Welcome to Joy 94.9, Kim.
Oh, Simon, that intro has given me a lot to live up to.
Excellent. Now, tell us about the early days of the Presets. How did you guys meet and get started?
We were both studying like classical music at the Sydney Conservatorium, and we were both doing different courses, but we were in the same year, and we started hanging out in the common room and swapping tapes, and then we started going out to clubs and... Eventually, I had a band at the time, and I asked, you know, Julian found this synthesizer under his dad's bed.
Wow.
And then I asked him to join the band or something like that, and he did, and we did that for a while. And then somewhere along the line, we kind of started to, you know, want to do something a little different to that band sound, and we started jamming songs and writing different ideas that were kind of like very early, you know, Presets ideas. And
yeah
from then on, we did a demo, got a deal, and then here we are today.
Wonderful. Now, I'm going to fast forward a little bit to the album Apocalypso. What was and who were your influences when recording Apocalypso?
It was a funny time when we made Apocalypso. Like, we'd been touring our first album, Beams, for about 3 years, mm-hmm. and we'd been, you know, going, you know, across the whole world playing at festivals and playing at, you know, in clubs at 3 a.m. and basements and stuff like that. And we really started to... get a complete intuitive sense of how we were meant to be and what our sound was meant to be and how we were meant to be, you know, representing ourselves on stage. And so once we finished the tour for Beams, we came back to Sydney and we just got into the studio and started writing, and it was just right at the forefront of our mind what we were meant to be. And one of the defining moments on that Beams tour was we played at the Christopher Street Day in Berlin.
Okay.
And And we played just before Kevin Sorensen, who's like, you know, iconic techno producer from Inner City. You know, he's one of the three guys we've credited with sort of bringing techno to the world. And he played, you know, we played, it was actually Nina Hagen, us, and then Kevin Sorensen. And that one show kind of like sort of in a weird way summed up what we were going to do for Apocalypso, you know? Big stadium techno kind of sound. And, I think that was a big moment for us. But also, you know, more importantly, just that constant touring and just getting a finite sense over what we were meant to achieve and what worked really well and what didn't work so much, and just kind of like trimming the fat off the old set and just trusting our judgment, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear how it's all come together.
Yeah.
Now, with such a long gap between the release of Apocalypso in 2008 and now, what have you and Julian been up to?
We've been working, you know, away for the last year and a half. I mean, when we finished Apocalypso, we took a few months off and had a bit of R&R and just kind of like tried to let the dust settle, which took a lot longer than we'd imagined. And but at the same time, we kind of got back in the studio and just started writing stuff and jamming around and letting things develop really naturally this time, as opposed to kind of coming in with a really strong sense over what we were going to do. Mm. And aside from that, we both had became fathers.
Wow.
Last year, so that was a big change in our lives. And work-wise, we've just been kind of like steadily gathering up the speed and the momentum. And you know, we've got maybe 20 tunes that we're really happy with, and just a few gaping holes that we feel need to be filled in order for the record to really fall into place.
Okay.
And so at the moment we're just sort of working on those, and once they're done, I think we'll have a record ready. And
I can't wait.
Oh, <good. laughs>
Now, that was part one of my chat with Kim from the Presets.
You got very excited, didn't you?
I did get very excited, and I think because they'd be like my musical idols.
Oh.
Yeah. I think if I got to chat with any Australian music producers,
yes,
they would be just amazing. And they would have to be the best DJs and performers I've ever seen live.
Mm-hmm.
And just absolutely, like, bought a huge stage presence. And just, there was only two people on stage, but put on such an amazing show.
I would be very happy for them to come in so I can just look at them.
Yes, well, unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh.
Mm.
Now I'm sad.
Mm.
If it's tired, boring music you're looking for, you've come to the wrong station. Joy 94.9. Now
have
playing the hottest new music
while recording,
first.
Your new material because of the success of Apocalypso?
Yeah, I mean, yes, definitely. It's been something that has been, even when we have been sort of trying to do things very differently to Apocalypso, it's even when we've been trying to, like, take on different styles or trying, you know, new atmospheres or whatever, it's still, the reason for that has been the fact that we had big successful record. And so the pressure's been there for sure, and also, I mean, just the events that have happened with becoming fathers and stuff like that, like, and also needing to have some downtime, the pressure has been not really there, but you know, it's been around the corner. Like, I'm talking about the pressure from everybody else that sort of in our world, like the record label and management and all that sort of stuff. But now it's like we're taking on these shows we're about to do, and you know, we're in rehearsals, and the world that we've sort of been kind of not hiding from but kind of neglecting over the last year is really sort of starting to come back to the forefront. It's sort of like nothing's too daunting at the moment. Everything feels like it's well within our grasp, and it's just there to be taken.
Wonderful. Your new single is going to be the most anticipated release in Australian dance music this year. What can we expect from your new sound?
Arguably.
Oh, I don't know. I'd say the most anticipated release.
Well, there we have an argument. But yes, okay, yeah. Well, yeah. I guess so. Yes.
Yeah. So what can we expect from your new sound?
Well, there's not really. It's not really a new sound. I mean, if you look back from our first EP, Blow Up, to, you know, the last record.
Yeah.
It's just been a, like, logical progression each time, and we sort of maintain that approach with this record. We've definitely tried some new things, and we've kind of tried some things that would be a little bit different, but we've always done that on the records. We've always kind of like turned a few corners with some sounds or mm-hmm. whatever, but we're still really adamant in doing what we do best and what people know us for and what people love, and you know, and employing those key ingredients into our songwriting and yeah, just moving forward with our craft and getting better at what we do.
Great.
So you won't expect anything else. It's just the same old shit.
No, that's great. Bring it on. Now, I've seen some amazing live acts in my time, but I've got to say, I got to see you guys at Hot Barbecue last year, and it was hands down the best live show I'd ever seen.
Yeah, right.
The energy that you guys bring to the stage with only two people is just incredible. And what can we expect from your new show?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're actually just in rehearsals for that at the moment, you know. We're kind of, music-wise, we're going to try out a couple of new tracks, which we're really excited about. Some really, like, heavy stadium techno tracks and yeah. really indicative presets, like a song. And we've also dug up an old favorite and remixed it and given it a new flavor. So, you know, it's going to be, in terms of the last show, we're really trying to make something that's a lot even more like of a punch in the face.
Okay, yeah.
And the last one had some really, it was quite high-paced, but it also deviated and had some really beautiful, deep moments. And this time, I think we're just kind of going for, like, the jugular and sort of stage show thing, which it'll essentially be just us two on stage again.
No, that sounds fantastic.
Basically no difference.
I can't wait. So with the new album, will you be touring Australia to promote its release?
Oh, yeah, we definitely will. I mean, the album won't be... We're looking towards, you know, the third quarter of the year to release. And all the regular things associated with that will do. But obviously there's nothing planned as yet.
All right.
Still nothing, all that stuff out.
Kim, it's been an absolute pleasure to be able to chat with you about your work, and I can't begin to explain how much I'm looking forward to your new releases and your brand new live show. Thank you so much for the chat.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Oh, wasn't he nice?
He's lovely.
Yeah.
Oh.
You are listening to S&M Fridays with Simon and Michael, and that was part two of my chat with Kim from the presets.
Yes.
Joy 94.9.
One of my weekend traditions is getting up really early. At 6 a.m. Yeah, okay. I'm up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday, and you know what I'm doing?
That's not... Do I want to know what you're doing?
I'm parking myself in front of the television watching Rage.
Oh, okay, it's fine. Okay.
Absolutely love it. I could watch music videos and, you know, 24 hours a day.
Okay.
Hence why I don't have Foxtel. Otherwise, I would be watching television 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I love getting up watching Rage. And there's a...
Yes,
I'm trying to think of...
I'm not quite sure.
I'm actually not too sure where she's from. Pretty sure she's the UK. From the band Girls Aloud.
Oh, yeah.
It's the UK. And her name's Cheryl Cole. She's actually dropped her surname.
Oh, Cheryl.
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 Yeah.
Cheryl. Cheryl. I'm going to go for the
from Altona Bingo Hall.
Oh, so she's the caller.
Cheryl's released a new single.
Oh, has she?
Called Legs 11.
Two fat ducks.
Kelly's Eye, number one.
Oh, actually, that'd be... Actually, a CD of bingo songs would actually go down a treat.
I've got a really embarrassing story, and with all of my embarrassing stories, normally, you know, I don't keep them to myself. Why not tell Melbourne?
Why not?
And the world. I actually moved into Altona about a year ago, right? Mm-hmm,
yes.
That's not the embarrassing part, surprisingly.
No. It's a lovely place.
It is, apart from the smell once a month from the beach.
And the refinery.
Living in between a refinery and a shit farm.
Yeah.
Look, it's got its nice points. However, there was a bingo hall up the road.
Yeah.
And me and my partner were sitting there on a Saturday night, bored out of our brains, going, what are we going to do? And I said, just for shits and giggles, why don't we go and play a game of bingo?
Awesome.
So we go there and we walk in there and we would have been the youngest by about 30 years. Right? And It was just bizarre. Like, you see these people who are just so hardcore into their bingo, and they've got their textures all lined up, and they've got, like, their little crosses with Jesus on them.
Yes, yes.
They're rubbing the cross before the the bingo call.
It's like rubbing Buddha for good
luck.
Yeah,
it was like that.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away by how these people got into bingo, right? and I thought, wouldn't it be great to make a mockumentary based on the people that go to bingo?
Yeah.
And I just found it actually really quite amusing.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I won $100.
Oh, well,
I got
done
a bingo, and I nearly shat myself when I had to call out bingo because I thought there's going to be 200 people with evil eyes looking at me, hoping that I've failed.
You would have walking frames.
I know.
Ready.
But the story ends with us leaving this bingo hall, exhausted, like we'd run a marathon, because of you've got to follow these numbers around and everything. Jeez, it must keep old people's mine's really active, because I couldn't keep up with it. It was like, I'm sure I missed quite a few of those numbers.
You couldn't keep up?
No, it was crazy. Oh. I reckon I should take you. We could do a show live from Altona Bingo Hall.
We should do
Hall.
An OB from,
from Altona Bingo Hall.
Awesome. That'd be great. I'd be up for that, and everyone can come along and we're going
to
play bingo.
And we can chat to Cheryl.
We can chat. We could. And her friends.
Yeah.
And Beryl and who
Audrey.
Was there? Audrey and... Yeah. And Geraldine.
Yep.
And our friend Lawrence, who has said that if he woke up straight one day, it would have to be Cher for number one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Of course. Number two would be Linda Evans from Dynasty. And number three, Dolly Parton. And I think I know why Dolly Parton's in Lawrence's list, because, you know, that would be comfy. Dolly Parton would be comfy.
Yes.
You know.
What I do like about Lawrence, thank you for your message, Lawrence, because it's made me feel so much better about myself, being able to rattle off quickly three people that I'd have turned straight for.
Uh-huh.
But look, I'm going to take it one step further. Number four is this chick, Cheryl Cole. She's in this video clip where she's rocking along around LA. Very attractive woman.
Mm.
So for the lesbian audience out there, I'd be getting onto YouTube, having a look at this track, which was called Call My Name.
And, that's nice.
Yeah,
we've had Johnny on top, and now Cheryl's asking us to call my name.
She's a remarkable looking woman, and number four in the I Turn Straight for That list.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.